Welcome to Always Something, the podcast where we dive into the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unavoidable world of crisis communications. I'm Jamie, and every week we'll unpack the latest headlines, media moments, and entertainment disasters, exploring how things can go off course and how to steer them back. Whether it's a scandal, a setback, or a PR crisis, you can always bet there's always something to talk about. If you're in the biz or just intrigued by the drama behind the scenes, pull up a chair and let's get into it. Welcome to episode 2 of Always Something with Jamie Mangrum. I am your host, Jamie. And this is one of those kinds of topics that is just like so complex, so convoluted, so messy. It's hard to decipher what's true and what's not, but we're gonna try to figure this out. Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively are in the boxing ring. And, you know, I read both court dockets. I read the lawsuit that Blake Lively had directly against Justin Baldoni and the production company. I read his countersuit, I guess, that he had towards the New York Times. I did all that reading, and it still is just very unclear to me about what is the end goal here. And having been in comms and toting into media and representing organizations and entities, you know, when you do a message of some sort, your goal is to always find the objective. And I feel as if Blake and Justin solely just want to not lose. Like, they're playing not to lose the game as opposed to playing to win. And what are they playing? They are playing for... Okay, let me back up. So I feel like Blake Lively has had a very complicated, kind of under the rug, under the radar kind of history, leaning on the accomplishments and credibility of her husband, Ryan Reynolds. Justin Baldoni, to me, is kind of always teetering into being very likable and somewhat approachable, and not as professionally responsible as one would assume with his pedigree of work. Now, with that aside, my take is that the New York Times, and I have worked with journalists and photojournalists from the New York Times for many years, and a lot of people know this, but some people don't, is that for an editorial piece similar to the article that just came out about Blake Lively's reported experience on the set of It Ends With Us, there are multiple layers of validation of a story before it even sniffs daylight, especially for an investigative report like that. With that knowledge and with that experience, and then Justin Baldoni comes with his countersuit saying that the text message images and what was shared in the article are inaccurate and misleading, and they're doctored photos and all of those things that he's alleging in his lawsuit. A part of me, just because I have that experience of just being in comms for so many years, I was just very surprised by that accusation, especially because it's the New York Times. The New York Times is an institution, but the New York Times is no stranger to people taking issue with them. This dates back to the 60s and 70s, and you can do your own research on that in the political sphere. So I do feel as if it could possibly be true to an extent, but I'm just very surprised by that. The New York Times and their editorial board obviously are standing by the report because that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to say. The legal team for the New York Times is like Fort Knox. You are not breaking through that. They have, like, their legal team is a group of people that you just don't want to play with. You don't want to tamper with. So that accusation is probably something that they're going to take seriously as well, because that's a part of the vetting of an investigative report, right? They are drafting the materials usually off the record, just on background. And then after it's on background, then they start kind of drafting the flow of the article, the journalists. And then the journalists go through their own independent research, their own verifiable sources. And then it goes further up the chain, normally to legal. Legal sees it, and then after that it goes to the editor. Sometimes it teeters back and forth depending on the content and the extent of the report. I'm just very surprised at the accusation that there is that much inaccuracy and that much doctoring of the images in the report. So stating that and putting that to the side, I read Justin Baldoni's lawsuit, and that thing reads like a novel. But you're not going to put something in any form of a legal document without being true. Like, he's willing to stand up and say, yes, this content in this lawsuit is true, to my knowledge. And he showed comparatively the text messages that Blake Lively and the investigative report for the New York Times had against what was actual. And yes, there are portions of the text messages that appear to be edited. So he's stating that they omitted certain parts of the messages in their favor to make it seem as if Justin Baldoni was calculating and causing problems for Blake Lively and all that. One of the other things that was very interesting to me in his lawsuit was that he was stating he and members of the production staff, a small group of people, agreed to meet with Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds at their home in New York City to talk about the film and the production of it, thinking that it was going to be a very productive conversation, thinking that it was going to be very fruitful and everyone was going to come to terms and agree on certain things. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, like, apparently lost their marbles on Justin Baldoni and the production staff. Like, to the point of where it was, like, in the lawsuit of being incredibly disturbing and off-putting. And Blake Lively insisted on having the PGA at the end of it as being a producer on the film, but apparently she didn't do enough work to qualify for having a production title. And that was something that she really wanted, and that was very important to her. And Ryan Reynolds got on a stump and tried to kind of leverage his position in the industry to get that for her. And Justin Baldoni, I think, grew incredibly impatient with Blake Lively. Do I believe that this is bad for entertainment? Yes. And by all of this dirty laundry airing out, so I don't know how they're going to overcome this. I don't know what they're intending to do. Now, Justin Baldoni was represented by the agency group PR team. And they also, you know, represented Johnny Depp. They represent Drake. And they are known to be kind of like gunslingers, right? Like, but they have found a way to specialize in an industry that is not particularly regulated, which is social media, with the creation of bots in your comments and in your feeds, also skewing that and tapping into that to encourage certain types of posts to come into your search engine results should you Google one person or the other. I, as a communications professional, especially kind of being like I go on a stump for like legacy media. And I don't have an aversion to new media, but legacy media, I've always had just kind of like an intellectual curiosity about that, but also I could see how that could introduce so much risk to multiple industries, not just entertainment. However, the creation of these bots and search engine results kind of skewing into his favor was also kind of talked about in his lawsuit, basically stating like Blake Lively kind of did this to herself, and she was very tone deaf and emotionally like immature. You know, even if there was an inference of these bots being created, we can't make up the fact that she said something silly. She did that herself. There's video of it. So for them to infer that we, you know, subjugated her to that is inaccurate. And that the agency group BR team felt as if they were taking a lot of blame for things that ultimately Blake Lively just did to herself. And that she's essentially having a temper tantrum because her ego will not allow her this moment of taking a really big L. I also believe that this is not over. This is far from over. I think that we are now going to be diving deeper into what does artificial intelligence mean for the entertainment industry? What does it mean for how the average person consumes and understands content in the space of social media? What does this mean for film production, for film promotion and production? And is this just like a one kind of case scenario, or are we seeing like a thread or a trend here that needs to be addressed and resolved before it spirals out of control and there's no way to regulate it or control it? What I expect to happen is that over the next several weeks and several months, this is going to play out even more. I don't believe that there's going to be any financial settlement in this. I don't think that there's any way that either of them will say, okay, we'll drop the lawsuit if you pay us. We'll let this go if you find a way to skew the news to be one way or the other. The news works in waves, right? So it's kind of like an endurance race. Like it can start off fast, but then it may teeter off and go slow. Or, you know, vice versa, or you can start slow and it can pick up fast and then you go through the finish line. So and that pace can be predicted, right? Because the predictability comes from algorithms. It's not something that's just made up. You know, there's a reason why there's hundreds of millions of people that are social media managers and digital marketing managers. They understand this. And we work with them on a regular and very consistent basis. So, I anticipate this going well into the spring. Do I expect this to go into trial? Yes. The theater of it all is just like something that everyone needs and everyone wants to see. And I think both of them want to be proven right. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, man, it's a lot to unpack. But yeah, that's it for today's episode. And I will talk to you guys soon. Take care. Thank you.